There were angels in the sky. They said, boys, don't you be afraid. This is the night of your life. There's a baby in a manger that the whole world needs to know. It begins here with you. Here's what you must do. Go tell, go tell, go tell, go tell. Once you've seen that shining star, you can't keep it to yourself. Go tell it near and far. He is Emmanuel. You've got to go tell. Go tell it to your sister. Go tell your brother too. Tell it to everybody you meet. Tell them you've got good news. Tell them about that little baby born in Bethlehem. Tell them his name is Jesus and he's come to free us. Go tell, go tell, go tell, go tell. Once you've seen that shining star, you can't keep it to yourself. Go tell it near and far. He is Emmanuel. Everybody go tell. The wise men are gonna shout it, and the rich, the poor, and the lame. And if they were able, the cows in the stable would praise his holy name. Won't you sing that shining star? You can't keep it to yourself. Go tell. Go tell it on your smartphones. And that is your assignment for 2019. Go tell.
Well, in Pastor John's absence this morning, we have a recurring friend with us, Pastor Terry Hoke, who is the retired pastor of Iron Springs Brethren in Christ Church, now serves as a coach to other pastors. So I'm sure that's a ministry that's a much blessing to them. So I will turn it over to Pastor Hoke at this time.
Thanks, Rose. I love that song. As a coach, I ask a lot of questions. And that's an interesting. Where did she go? Ah, there you are. I really love that song because I see a lot of questions in God's Word. One question I've always had is, what question, the only question, did Mary ask? How can this be? And then I thought about the shepherds, and that's part of the song. And they have this big, bright, flashy light, you know, everything happens, and suddenly questions start to come to my mind. After the announcement was made, what did they do? Why did they go? So God's word is so full of encouragement for us to go tell. Thank you. That was fantastic. I loved it. Yeah, amen to the Lord, that's for sure. Well, that's not my where I was going at all today. But that's all right. I want to talk about the gift that we often miss. You know, oft is a word, the oft-missed gift. I want to move a little further down the road in the life of Christ. And if you have your Bible with you, you can turn to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 11 verses there and then continue picking it up a bit later in Acts chapter 2. That's a nice sound, people turning in their Bibles. I shared, while you're turning, I'll share this. Coaching is a very rewarding thing, I will tell you. I wish I'd had a coach when I was a pastor. But a lot of churches these days, you know, put the scripture and everything up on the overhead. And I see so many people wherever I get to go that don't even carry a Bible. And I wonder if they use it at home or if they just don't use it at all anymore. So I'm so glad to hear you turning in your Bible. I encourage you, bring it, even if it's up on the overhead, bring it along. All right? In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up in heaven, up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, this isn't in there, but I'm going to tell you, go tell. After he said that, he was taken up before their eyes, their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up in the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. Stopping there. A few weeks ago, a month ago, almost to the day, my wife dragged me out on a shopping excursion. On that blessed day when everybody wants to go. Yeah, Good Friday. To Kohl's in Chambersburg. And she found something that she wanted to purchase. And there must have been 30 people in that line trying to check out. And I asked myself and eventually her, what am I doing here? People don't usually like to wait, do they? I have noticed, maybe you have too, more and more these days, that people will cut you off in traffic. I was in the Dollar Tree the other day, and there were a whole line of people, and I'm standing there, and they finally brought somebody over to open another cash register, and I'm second in line. And I'm thinking, I'm not going over there. I mean, this lady's before me, even though her basket was full to running over. And I'm standing there thinking, that's okay. She'll go first. Don't you know they threw that light on and somebody from way back the road just dashed right up there. People don't like to wait. What, with that in mind, do you think the disciples felt like when Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem just yet? Wait a while for the gift my Father is sending. I could just see those disciples going, woohoo, I love to wait, man. I don't have to do it. He didn't give them any detail, nothing to explain to them why they had to wait. He just said, wait, stay where you are. And they were so happy. I could just hear them applauding. Hey, good direction. Finally, it's straightforward. Right? Isn't that how you would feel? I am so glad I get to wait. We have a difficult time waiting. And it's okay to wait if we have details that we know what we're waiting for and why we're waiting and eventually how soon it's going to come. He said a few days, but he said wait. They didn't know what to do while they were waiting. They didn't know how or when or even if the gift was going to arrive. They just knew one thing. Jesus said wait. Jesus still sometimes says to us, wait. I have something for you. Wait. Fortunately, they didn't have to wait all that long, 10 days, which seems like an eternity in today's electronic world. But 10 days they waited. And it turned out they didn't have to wonder if they would recognize the gift when it got there. It was a gift that they would recognize, and they knew it was the gift because it says this. They were all in the same room, 120 of them in the same room, when they heard the wind start blowing really loudly. Then they saw fire, which isn't really a great thing to see when you're in a room with 120 people. But they saw fire. And fire came and fell upon them, and it entered the room, and it split into multiple parts and started moving around towards certain people, touching them on the head. Now, I don't know about you, but that would have freaked me out. Is it going to hurt? And a long, long time ago, when I was a child, I was assigned to do the burning of some paper. I really loved doing that. I was probably maybe 10 if I was that old. I just loved the job of starting fires, not that much. And I'm out there, and all the other young guys in the community were out playing ball, and I'm back there tearing I remember this like it was yesterday. You don't forget certain things. I was tearing a catalog apart because you don't throw the whole catalog on, right? You got to tear it up because it just lay there and smolder. I'm tearing it apart and throwing things down. I tore a bunch and I threw it all in there, and it went, and a piece of that hit right here, burnt my hair back to about there. Didn't smell all that good. 120 people, fire falling on hair. Not good. But it didn't hurt. It landed on everyone's head without pain. And then they started speaking in a different language. Interesting thing. I often wonder whether they spoke in different languages or whether people heard them in their own dialect. And then, in getting ready for today, I still had that question. So I dug a little deeper. And one person said this, writing about that event, said, God made the collective language. It was all one language. Remember the Tower of Babel? And that was because they all had one language. And then they were going to say they're going to build a tower to God. And God said, then they confused the language. And one writer said, this day, God brought one language back. So they could go tell and people could understand. Now, is that true? I don't know. I think they had a question, though. What does this all mean? What does it mean? The details about the gift the Father was sending were still fuzzy, and they would be for quite some time, but they knew that the gift had come, and that gift he had come bringing power. Those 120 followers did go tell. They went out to tell. They were an unstoppable force, committed to do what they'd seen Jesus doing, committed to being his body, committing to be his hands, his feet, his arms, his legs, and particularly his mouth. They were just going to continue what he started. That's what he told them to do. Waiting just outside that room was a world of people. And he'd already told them, the Father's going to send you a gift. And when he comes, I want you to stay in Jerusalem now, but then take the word out to Jerusalem and out to Judea and out to the rest of the world. Just keep taking it out there. They had more direction than they had ever had in their life before. The direction hasn't changed, by the way. The followers of Jesus met the people and began what Jesus told them to do. He said, just be my witnesses. Tell what you know. I run into people all the time and say, I just can't go out and talk to somebody about the Lord because I don't know my Bible well enough. My question to you today, one question, and I'll have a number, I like to ask questions. One question I have for you today is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Now, if you're here and you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, don't go away from here without talking to me. I want to talk to you. But I'm going to ask you point blank, do you know the Lord as your Savior? Raise your hand. Okay, leave them up. Do you remember the day you gave your life to Jesus? Keep your hand up if you do. If not, okay. Some of you do, some of you don't. Okay, that's okay. Put your hand back down. Do you remember the transformation that he made in your life? Do you? You have a message. You have a message. All you have to do is remember what Jesus did for you and tell other people what Jesus did for you. And you don't have to run full bore into their space right there, you know. It's like we got, 2 feet or 3 feet around us all of a sudden and somebody violates that. Don't get in their space. If somebody says, something's different about you, what is it? You don't have to step into their space and say, I know the Lord is my Savior, what about you? Just say, well, it's because I know Jesus as my Savior. And this is what he did for me. Let me tell you what he did for me. You have the message of Jesus inside of you. These people, these disciples went out, these 120 of Jesus' disciples now went out, and they had a common language, or people heard them in their language, or however that worked. And they took the message out, and they told what Jesus said. Who Jesus was, what he did for them, how their lives had been transformed, and some people heard it, and some people didn't. That will be your experience as well. You'll share your story, and some people will say, I want to know more. I want to know more about that. I want to know this Jesus. And some people will say, I don't believe in that stuff. It's okay. You're not called to convert them. You're called to tell your story. That's what it's all about. So they went. They went out of that upper room celebrating the fact that God came from heaven to earth, offering them salvation apart from anything they could do or ever perform. And they lifted up the name of Jesus, and they had a zeal for spreading his glory. To jumpstart their efforts, God made this common, hearable language so their message could be spread more quickly. And he turned confusion into order. Where there was alienation, there was reconciliation. Where there was chaos, there was harmony. What was upside down was being brought back right side up to bring glory to him. Interestingly, those in the world said, we got to do something about these guys. They're turning the world upside down. No. The world was already upside down. They were turning it right side up. And all they were doing was telling what they knew and what Jesus had done for them. Now, I think that this gift that we oft miss is the Holy Spirit. We think we have to go out and do all this in our own power. And if you don't feel like you have the Holy Spirit in your life to go out there in His power to tell your story, please don't tell your story, because it'll be your story, not His story. You see, our story is inside the big story. Your story, my story, everybody's story is inside the big story. God has that story. But He gave them this gift, and He gives that gift to you, and He gives that gift to me. He gives the gift of the Holy Spirit to empower us to and give us the word. So maybe I think He needs a better publicist, because we, although He's in equal standing with God the Father and God the Son, He doesn't get the press. Now, we have the children here, so I'm hesitating to use that G-H-O-S-T word. A lot of people don't like that word because they of the other kinds of G-H-O-S-Ts, you know? So we change it to, in modern or more modern versions of the Bible, Holy Spirit. Good old King James didn't have that, did it? But Spirit, Ghost, whichever, the thing is the same. The message is the same. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all equal. I think He needs a better publicist. The Father and the Son get the most worship songs. Did you notice? We get the most worship songs. We pray eloquent prayers to the Father and the Son. How many of you ever pray to the Holy Spirit? We're told to pray in the name of Christ. But you can pray to the Holy Spirit, and He will hear you. And you can pray to the Holy Spirit and end that prayer in Jesus' name. It's okay. He's not offended. They're equal. The Holy Spirit's the quiet member of the Trinity, the one people have a hard time describing and discussing. But to understand the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, to misunderstand the person and the work of the Holy Spirit is to misunderstand something, I think, fundamental to Christianity. The Father sent the Son into the world. Jesus said, I didn't say anything that my dad didn't tell me, my father didn't tell me to say. Jesus was born in a manger. We worship Him as a baby that during this time of year. Don't forget, He grew up. The Father sent Him and empowered Him with the Holy Spirit. The Son, when He completed His earthly mission, returned to the Father. And He sent you and me His Holy Spirit. Never absent, equal with Him. And there's two things you need to know for certain about the Holy Spirit. He'll always point you to Jesus. He will always point you to Jesus, the sacrificed one. And He'll always work to form Christ likeness in you. Always. Scary, isn't it? Jesus told the disciples to go out into the world, but He warned them first. He said, apart from Me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. Because He knew that they would be lost without Him, He made them a promise right before He left to return to the Father. He said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. If you feel weak in your Christian walk today, it's your fault, because you're not calling on the right part of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, to empower you, to counsel you, to coach you, to teach you, to walk with you, to comfort you. All things that God's Word says, that's what He does. And so if you feel powerless, you're not tuned in to the power flow. The Christian life cannot be lived apart from the Spirit of Christ. without a moment by moment reliance on the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, Christian living is just not, it's just virtually impossible. I want to turn you on to the power source today. It's almost impossible, if not totally impossible, to live your Christian life without recognizing where the power of living that life comes from, and it comes through God's Spirit. I want to turn you on to that because otherwise it can become frustrating trying to succeed in walking the Christian walk. It doesn't have to be frustrating. It doesn't even have to be scary. It's not. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you gave your life to him because he died for you and your sins on that cross at Calvary and he was raised from the dead and you believe all of that, he says, in return for me going to the Father, Father's going to give you one more gift, the Holy Spirit. So on those days when you don't feel good enough to call yourself a Christian, and believe me, we all have those days, and you want to work harder and work harder and harder, don't forget the Holy Spirit. Because all the work you do on your own will never be good enough. Recognize, though, that God gave you his Holy Spirit so that you could call on him and say, what do I do now? So I ask you, if this is touching you at all, what do you do now? Just another question. In the absence of a personal relationship with God, a personal encounter, we reduce God to a set of biblical principles and laws again. We have to do this, 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 this. Oh, wait, I missed one. You can carry out all the laws and everything that the prophet said about the coming one. You can baptize three times forward by immersion like we do. You can sprinkle. You can pour. Or as one of our pastors who's with the Lord now used to say, or be rolled in oats. The method doesn't matter unless the Spirit is right with God the Father when he gives you his Holy Spirit. You can work and work and work to be good enough. It won't work without the power of the Spirit. Because we fear hearing from God personally, we say that God no longer communicates to us through anything but his word, the Bible. And that's a good thing. But we close off the surprising work of the Holy Spirit in our life. You see, God is a God of fellowship. God is a God in fellowship with the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in fellowship with one another. And he's in fellowship with us when we give our life to him. And we have this unity with this God that we sang about that we just can't take in. Praise the Lord. Can't take him in. He's a God of fellowship and a God of relationship. Jesus defined eternal life this way. This is what he said. This is eternal life. He didn't say this part. Not being good enough, not working hard enough, not going to church 1 hour a week and saying, hey, check that off, went into worship service. This is eternal life. Oh, and by the way, that is important that you do that. Collectively come together in relationship. But if you're just checking it off as something you're doing today, the last Sunday of 2018, and plan to do next year if the Lord tarries, next week even. That's not what this, so that you can eventually spend eternity with Christ. This is what Jesus says. This is eternal life, that they know you, Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. Relationship. 120 people out the door, talking to people, telling about Jesus, opening up the door of relationship, just saying, hey, let me tell you what just happened in there. The Eternal life is not about being in heaven. It's not about being delivered from the mess that often accompanies life on earth. It's not about being finally released from this body that we have here. It's not about that. It's fellowship with God, and it starts now. That's what the whole Bible story is about. Fellowship with God, relationship with Him. The purpose of the gospel is to bring men and women out of darkness and into the light, to unite us with our Creator and enable us to enjoy fellowship with Him and with one another. If you miss this, you've missed the whole point. Your story in His story. Our story collectively as brothers and sisters in Christ in His story. God has a story. He has a story. A lot of people miss this part. A lot of people fail to value their relationship with God and with others as the main event of life. And they come to a point in life where they're older and they recognize, I don't know who those people are, by the way. I don't fit there. I'm 70, but I don't feel like it. They get to a point in life where they just say, I could have done so much more in my job, with my family, and in my relationship with the Lord. I wish I could go back. Can't go back. That famous philosopher, famous Amos, the cookie guy, said this. He said, the past is just in your mind. You can remember parts of it, but you can never go there. The future is just in your mind. You have no clue what's going to happen out there. You can plan for it and hope for it and even pray for it, he said. The only thing that you know is the present. Live for that. When I read that he said that, do you know, quick aside, very quick, famous Amos, cookie guy, sold his name. So he started making muffins. But he did. Sold his name. He said, I didn't think through that part until I signed the contract and sold my name, famous Amos. So he lived with in the present and made muffins. And lots more money. Anyhow, eternal life is fellowship with God. The purpose of the whole gospel is to reunite us with our Creator and fellowship with Him and with one another. And if you miss it, you miss it. Sadly, so many people miss it. They deny the gift. They're afraid of the gift. They want to run their own life. They don't want to surrender to something or someone that they can't see. So they just want to be their own God. I'll make my own decisions. God says I'm good with that. His Holy Spirit says I'm good with that. He's never pushy. Never, ever. Just don't deny Him. Just don't deny His existence. Don't blaspheme Him. That has consequences, doesn't it? You know your Bible, that's got a real consequence. And because it's got that consequence, it should draw us into Him even closer all the time. This fellowship isn't a means to anything other. It is the thing. It is the thing. And it's not a meeting place. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with God. And He opens the door to that through His Spirit so that we can see Him. And when we close the door to the presence of the Holy Spirit, we close off the hopes of having a meaningful relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. We just came through the Christmas season. Anybody here get a gift? Oh, Steve, I'm so sorry. Steve and Linda didn't raise their hand, folks. We have to take care of that. There were others, too, so... You others and Steve and Linda just get together and cry together. We just came through the Christmas season. So Terry says to himself, what in the world do you preach on the last Sunday of the year? The oft-missed gift. And it was clear. I mean, when the Lord said, I want you to preach about the gift that people miss. I want you to preach about the greatest gift that you can ever receive after your salvation experience with Jesus Christ. And he is for everybody. And he never leaves you. He never pushes you around. He counsels you, coaches you, prays with you, prays for you. You can pray through him. He comforts you. He guides you. You say, I just don't know which way to go. Ask the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he's never pushy. He's never rude. Never goes where he's not wanted or welcome. Thing is, we don't expect to hear from him. We convince ourselves that he doesn't speak to us. Well, I got to tell you why this is so much on my heart and my mind today, and why I was doing it. Somewhere, I got this, at the end of November, for the next 31 days, starting December the 1st, and I never can do this because I always work ahead, but so I'm done with this. For the next 31 days, here are some scriptures to read. Write them out. It takes about 10 minutes, so I thought, okay. And contemplate on them. Well, that took me much longer because I always write down my contemplations. And throughout that, this just opened up to me. This is the gift that we miss. This is a gift that we depend on and we don't even know it. He is the greatest gift after your salvation through Christ Jesus and his resurrection. The Holy Spirit is the greatest gift you can get this Christmas season. That gift is a recognition of who he is. You see, our decision to not approach the Holy Spirit for guidance and comfort and teaching creates an environment in which the Holy Spirit won't enter unless you ask him. He's never pushy. I want to encourage you today to ask him. You say, but I'm uncomfortable with asking the Holy Spirit. I always go to God the Father, go to God the Son. I'm presenting you the gift of the Holy Spirit today, and if you don't want it, it's okay. But what if you're wrong? What if the Spirit of God wants to communicate with us? What if the Spirit of God's waiting for a few people who will listen and respond to his prompting every day? What might he be waiting to reveal to the body of Christ through one humble servant who's open to being led? What if the Holy Spirit is waiting for you to say, what do you want me to do at the Fairview Avenue Church? What if you're the one? What if you're the one? Could you be? The Holy Spirit will never ask you to do something that Jesus wouldn't do. He won't make you do anything. He won't force himself on you. He won't lead you in anything that contradicts God's word. Won't do it. Why would you fear asking him? You see, he might just have something to say to you. Are you willing to listen? Did you catch that? That was a question. If the Holy Spirit would speak to you today, if you would ask him to speak to you and he did, are you willing to listen? I have two signs hanging on the wall of my office, which used to be a bedroom, by the way. That's what happens when the kids grow up and leave. You get an office. The one sign says this: it's not about me. It's not about me. When I'm coaching a pastor or anyone, I coach anyone, but my primary group is pastors. Because I did that, and I know how important it is. I ask them a lot of questions. And boy, after almost 30 years of pastoring, they have some of the same problems I had in the last 30 years, Jack. And what goes on is I have the answer. And I can tell them, don't do that, man. I tried that. It didn't work. But instead, I say, what do you think? What's the best solution for you? Because it's not about me. That's why I have that sign there. My other sign says this. If you would listen, what would you hear? I hate that sign. That's why I put it there. Because so often we want to run ahead without listening. But if you would listen today to the Holy Spirit of God, what would you hear? Are you willing to listen? Are you willing to respond to what you hear in obedience to what the Spirit has to say? And yet you say, but Terry, how do I go about this? It's quite simple, really. I would challenge you today to do this one thing, maybe for the very first time in your Christian walk, to do this one thing. Now, I'm kind of old school on this. This may, you don't have to do what I'm going to say in the early part. I'm so old school, I remember when we had a collective gathering like this and the pastor would say, we're going to go to prayer. People would stand up, turn around, kneel at the bench. Get on your knees today. If you want to know how to do this, simply get on your knees today. Or stand up or sit down or whatever, but get on your knees today and say this. Speak to me, Holy Spirit. I'm listening. Let's pray. Father, I think I need to thank you again and again. Because just this instant, I sense your Spirit. And those in this room who know me and see me more often will know that I'm just a wimp. I fall apart when I sense your presence because you are wonderful. You are awesome. You are the greatest. You're all those things we sang. And I just in this moment, feel your Spirit. And I thank you. Holy Spirit, give me words to speak in this prayer. It is my prayer, O God, that one, just one, or many, according to your will, would take the challenge today to get on their knees and say, speak to me, Holy Spirit, I'm listening. What do you want me to do? Sharing deeply with you, Lord, the desire of their heart in whatever area of life. What do you want me to do? This is where I'm hurting. How can you comfort me? Speak to me, Holy Spirit. Help us to raise up your Spirit in such a way, Lord God, that when we go from this place today, we go in boldness. And tell. Thanks for bringing that song and this message together. Thank you for your love, Lord God. When we go with us as you've promised. With your Holy Spirit's presence in our hearts and lives. We ask in the name of Christ Jesus, your Son, our Savior. Amen. Thanks for letting me come.